You are listening to the Eternity Church Podcast. For location and service times, please visit us online at myeternitydm.com.
Well, good morning. You may taketh your seats. Who's excited about our new series, Breaking Bad? You ready to break some bad habits in your life? Yeah, I'm excited about this. I've been getting pumped about this. I was ready to preach this word last Sunday, but I wasn't able to. My voice had been failing me, but I tell you what, I'm fired up and ready to go today. So you ready? You ready? Yeah. Awesome, awesome. Who's got some bad habits in here? Lift up your hand. All right. You know, when you ask people, hey, lift up your hand if you got some bad habits, people are like, I'm happy to do that if you would scale that so that I don't get put in the same category or level of bad habits as the guys on that side of the church, right? Like, that's what y'all were thinking, weren't you? You know, like, if he said who's got a level one bad habit, there would have been more hands because no one wants to identify with those level 10 bad habits, is that right? And so I wanna reveal something to you. This is just really mind-blowing stuff. Bad is bad. Destructive is destructive. Little bit destructive, lots of bits destructive, all destructive, okay? So we want to talk today about breaking bad habits in our lives. Now, there are some funny bad habits and there are destructive bad habits, aren't there? Right? Now, there's funny bad habits that can also be destructive, like picking your nose. Right? It's funny, but it's destructive to your nose. Right? Now, I used to love exploring as a child. And when I was in primary school, now that I'm saying that, I think I said that in the first service as well, which that's Australian for elementary school, right? When I was in elementary school, I loved exploring. I think I told stories about that, like when we're out in the woods and cave exploring and breaking into mine shafts that were sealed off and all those kind of things. And I loved exploring. So naturally, I needed to also explore my nose. I picked that thing so much, let's be real, that I knew every corner of it, right? I knew where to go to find the best flickers, right? Funny enough, though, as a young guy, I did not know that I lived my life with my finger in my nose until after I left that school in grade 2, which is second grade, and 4 years later. See, I left that and I went to another school 45 minutes down the road and to go to another school when our family moved there. And we went back to that school. We had a joint school district shindig, and one of the teachers comes up to me and goes, so do you still pick your nose all the time? I'm like, well, number one, I didn't really think that a teacher would say that to me. And number two, I didn't realize that, oh yeah, my finger is up my nose. And so I learned that day that that some habits can be destructive, and maybe that's why I had so many blood noses. I don't know. But you know what? There can be bad habits, there can be funny habits, but I tell you what, we want to learn the difference, don't we, between just something that's funny and something that's destructive, don't we? We want to figure out what are the destructive things in our lives and what can we do about them. So you ready to turn to the Word? After talking about the nose, some of y'all are like, I just want to leave, actually. I was going to go to a different church today, and next Sunday I will, right? Well, don't do that. That would be a really bad habit to get into, leaving because someone talked about their nose, all right? Psalm 91, I want to talk to you today about how and where you can find relief and freedom from the bad habits in your life. Are you ready? Awesome. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers. Under His wings you'll find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and your rampart or your buckler. You will not fear the terror of the night nor the arrow of the day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 more at your right, but it will not come near you. Come on, this is talking about those who hang out in the presence of the God. Amen. It will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you say, the Lord is my refuge, and you make your dwelling with the Most High, no harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up with their hands so that you will not strike your foot against even a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent because he loves you, says the Lord. The Lord will say, because he loves me, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me and I will answer. Come on, someone say, he will answer. He will answer you when you call on him. Amen. Oh, man, I love that. He will answer you. No matter where and no matter what, no matter how, he will answer when you call on him. God says, I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Come on, let's pray again. Heavenly Father, we know that without you, life is hard. But with you, we can win. Without you, we live in chains, but with you we are free. Without you, there is no salvation, no reprieve, but with you, there is life overflowing into eternal, everlasting life. With you, without you, there is pain, but with you, there is healing. And God, without you is not how we want to live. Help us to live today with your chain breaking, mind renewing, body healing power in Jesus' name. Amen. Who knows that God cares about you? You know God cares about you? Who knows that he cares about the details of your life? The great big details and the tiny details. He cares about your highs and he cares about your lows. He cares about the lows you experience in the midst of your highs and the highs you experience in the midst of your lows. He cares about all the details of your lives. Who knows that sometimes you'll be living life on a high, but there might be failure and struggle even in the midst of that. God cares about that failure, that moment, as much as he does the high. It's not only those who are living low that God has compassion for or cares about. He cares about all of us. Who knows that if one of my sons were to become a brain surgeon, and that would probably not be Charlie because he's more likely to need one, because He's just an adventurous, crazy little guy, and he jumps off things that are way too high. Praise God, he will be okay. Amen. Thank God for doctors and God's power, because that's the way that my little boy's going to get through life, with God's power and healing. Amen. But he's a crazy little guy. But if one of my kids was to become a brain surgeon, I'd be pretty proud of him, right? But if he broke his arm, I'd still care about the pain he has in the midst of his success, wouldn't I? Right? I want you to know that even if you're up high, but you have a struggle, a pain, an issue, something that's bringing destruction, hurt into your life, God cares about that thing. God cares about that thing. Just like if you're struggling and you feel like you're living in the lows, well, number one, God cares about that. And when you have a high moment, God wants to celebrate that high with you. Amen? God cares about the details of your lives. So often people will live in a place of victory, but with one painstaking issue. And they act like God doesn't care about that. Well, how dare I ask God for more when he's already given me this? Come on, you can come to God with anything that is causing grief, pain, or destruction in your life. Amen? He cares about you, and you don't have to live like that forever. So what's this sermon series all about? Well, it's not about judgment. That's not why I'm here. I'm not here to tell you that you're no good piece of trash because fill in the blanks. That's not what it's about. It's not about me pointing to you and telling you what's wrong with your life and how you need to fix it. It's not about you pointing to your neighbor and telling them how they need to fix their lives and what they need to do to get in line with Pastor Jesse's sermon. It's about the power of God. It's about the love that he has for you. It's about spending time in his presence like the psalmist wrote and finding freedom in Jesus. Amen. See, listen to me carefully right now. I want you to know that whether it's a tiny little thing or a really big thing in your life, wherever you find yourself, you can be free. You will be free. Amen? See, I think so often, far too often, we can get sin-focused. I want you to know that you'll get what you're looking for. If you live your life obsessed with sin, you'll find it. It's like if you live your life like a demon hunter, obsessed with finding a demon. Well, don't be surprised if you find one at your home. You go around looking for faults in people, guess what you're going to find in people? Their faults. That's all you're going to find. It's all you're going to see. I want to tell you, if you look hard enough, you'll find a fault in me. Might not be so hard in me, hey? If you look hard enough, you might find a fault in Pastor Nathan, though. If you look hard enough, you'll find one, won't you? See, the person sitting next to you, look hard enough, you'll find a fault. We all have something. You'll find what you're looking for. If you go around living life obsessed with what is sin, what isn't sin, you'll surely find yourself in the middle of it. I want to tell you, don't be sin-focused, be freedom-focused. See, today we're not trying to search out sin and destroy the little things of sin and issue and struggle or what's wrong and what's right. What we're trying to do is search for freedom in Jesus' name. So often I have people come and meet with me, right? And they want to ask me, and no issue if you've met with me about this, I mean no complaint, but people often ask me, is this sin? I'll be like, meeting with me? Now, is this certain thing sin? Or is this certain thing that I saw someone else do? Is that sin? Is this thing that I said or that I did or that they said or that they did, is it sin? I often find myself having to redirect the conversation away from an obsession with sin. And I usually find when people ask, is this sin, that what they're really asking is, if I do this, am I still saved? Or can I keep doing this and stay saved? So the question is all about sin and salvation. It's the wrong question. See, since Jesus Christ died on the cross, already paying the punishment for the believer's sin, sin is no longer in the equation of salvation. So when people are obsessed with sin, what we're really trying to do is go back to the Old Testament and measure our salvation or measure our sin. But it's not in the equation anymore. Don't do that. Don't live like that. Instead of looking at what is and isn't sin and obsessing over that in our lives, let's look at what a healthy life looks like. Amen? Rather than obsessing over right and wrong, let's look at healthy Christian living. Or if you are not a believer, let's just look at healthy living, shall we? But let's look at what is healthy for us. Now, obviously, sin's not healthy. Can I get an amen? If Scripture says something's sin, I want to tell you that something's not good for you. If Scripture says something's sin and you engage yourself in it, it will bring pain and destruction to your life. No doubt about it. But the right and wrong question, obsessing over is this right, is this wrong, we all have different opinions, don't we? 7 billion people on the planet, right? 7 billion different opinions. Everybody's got opinions. They're like armpits, aren't they? Everybody's got armpits and most of them stink. Now, I can tell you what Scripture says is right and wrong, no doubt about it. If Scripture speaks to that particular thing, I can tell you right or wrong. I can tell you sin or not sin. But who knows, there's lots of things that aren't written in Scripture, right? Who knows, there's lots of things that people do and we can all disagree about whether or not it's bad or good or this, that, and the other, and people will disagree, right? Like these. Like Marlboro. Like smoking cigarettes. Kind of stink, don't they? Does Scripture speak about Marlboro? Can we be honest? Can we be honest for a moment? Let's be real. Does Scripture speak about Marlboro? Does Scripture speak about smoking cigarettes? It doesn't, does it? It doesn't speak any more about smoking cigarettes than it does about cheeseburgers and Coca-Cola. Am I right? They're in the same passage, aren't they? Thou shalt not smoke too many cigarettes with Coca-Cola and cheeseburgers. Now, some people will say, well, your body's a temple of the Holy Spirit, so don't smoke cigarettes. Now, hang on if you're in here saying, is he telling me I should smoke? Hold on a minute, all right? Don't hear what I'm not saying and don't go further than I've been yet, all right? Okay? But people will say you can't smoke cigarettes because it's a sin because your body's a temple of the Holy Spirit. And I'll be like, are you just quoting someone or do you actually read your Bible? Because it doesn't say that. It says that your body's a temple of the Holy Spirit, so don't join that to a prostitute. So what scripture, if you want to talk about cigarettes in that scripture, what you can say is, smoking cigarettes when you're hanging out with hookers is sin. And you'd be right. So does smoking cigarettes make me a bad Christian? Not at all. Not even slightly. Not for a single little moment. So does quitting cigarettes make me a better Christian than those who haven't quit smoking cigarettes? Not even a bit. Not in the slightest. But is smoking a good idea? No, not really. Not in my personal opinion. I don't think that smoking cigarettes is a good idea. I think it's unhealthy and it would possibly prevent you from being at your granddaughter's wedding. And that would be sad. And that's my opinion. You catch what I'm saying right now? So can you still be in our church and be a greeter and serve on our teams and be addicted to cigarettes? Yeah, you can. Will you get to see your granddaughter serving on our teams? Maybe not. Just because something might not be sin doesn't mean it won't be bad for you. Can I get an amen? But if something's not sin, you don't get to judge and harsh on people and tell them, hey, y'all need to stop this or you're going to burn in hell. It doesn't say that. Can I get an amen? Now, in his letter to the Corinthians, Paul said, even if you have the right to do something, doesn't mean it's beneficial for you. He goes on to say, I will not be mastered by anything. In other words, just because scripturally, yeah, you can smoke cigarettes, doesn't mean they're good for you. Yeah? I will not be mastered by anything. I am no longer a slave. Amen. I'm not going to be a slave anymore. I've been set free. Now, if something is mastering your life, controlling you, causing you pain, and you're tired of having it in your life, then I want you to know God cares about that. And there's freedom for that in your life. Amen. God isn't so cruel as to only help you with the things that offend him. And that's the problem with being sin-focused. We go, well, here's the list of things that God says is wrong. So you know what? My thing doesn't fall in that list. He probably doesn't want to help me. Anything in your life. If you're a smoker and you desperately want to break that habit in your life, God wants to help you. God cares about that. If you don't want to break it, whatever. I'm not here to judge. Go and have one after church. But if you do want to break that habit off your life so that there's not something destructive in your life, so there's not something that could cause pain and damage in your family in your life, I want you to know God is willing and able to help. Can I get an amen? And freedom is on its way. Finding continual freedom from bad habits is what God wants to do in your life. Do you receive it, church? See, this sermon is not a sermon about judgment. It's not a sermon about judgment at all. This is a sermon about freedom. This is about you living in freedom. Someone say amen. Come on, nothing in this sermon gives you the right to look at your neighbor and accuse. Nothing that I'm saying gets you to say to your spouse, see, honey, I told you so. There's no honey do's in this sermon. There's only honey I'm gonna in this sermon. Amen. nothing in here gives you the right to sit here and say, I wish that Steve was here today. I want to tell you, if you wish Steve was here today, I want you to stop thinking about Steve and start thinking about you. Stop thinking about what they could or should have, would have, might have done. Start thinking about what God wants to do miraculously in your life. Because you can be free. There is freedom and it's on its way. And man, if his love covers a multitude of sins, it surely covers a multitude of bad habits too. Amen. Come on, praise God for somebody's freedom. Somebody's going to get some freedom today. Amen. Now, I'm not up here giving us permission to invite destructive things into our lives. Don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm actually warning you as a friend, as a pastor, to be careful. Just because something might not be sin doesn't mean it's going to be good for your world and your life. Amen? Now, I've got a box full of things up here. A box full of things that can bring destruction to people's lives. And some of them always bring destruction to people's lives. Can we be real for a moment? Is that cool? Yeah? Let's be straight up and down. Let's be real. Let's be, as they say in Australia, let's be dinky die. Amen. Let's be ridgy didge. Lots of, yeah, up here. Thanks, mate. Ridgy didge, that means for real. Ridgy didge, true blue, straight up, fair, dinkum. Dinky die. All that means this. Can we be real? I think you guys have got it figured out easier. Hey, it's much simpler just to say, can we be real, isn't it? I'm going to pull some things out of this box that might be hurting people in our church. All right? So, workaholic. That might be hurting people in our church, mightn't it? That could be a bad habit to get into, couldn't it? Never coming home for dinner with the family. Never being around to hug the kids, help the wife, help your husband. That could be hard for the family, couldn't it? That could be destructive, couldn't it? Yeah? A tech or screen addiction. Oh, snap. Man, he put the little things in here. Oh, man. Hey, if you just tapped your spouse, I didn't see anyone do it, but if you did, just went like this. Yeah, honey, that's you. That's called not listening to the sermon yourself. We're preaching to you, not the person next to you. I'm preaching to you, all right? All right, come on. A bad habit to get into, sitting in church every Sunday, thinking about who should be in church every Sunday. Mm-hmm. Good habit to be in, sitting in church going, God, speak to me today. Amen. Come on now. So you got one of these? Maybe it's destructive in your life. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's good. I don't know. Maybe you're addicted to spending the dollars. Maybe you're addicted to earning them. Hey? And maybe it's become unhealthy in your life. What else we got up in here? This could be fun. Oh, maybe you're addicted to negativity. Can you freaking believe the pastor had Marlboro up there? It's church. He brought the devil into church today. Man, if that's the biggest devil I ever see, I'm stoked. Negativity. Some of you might be dealing with some of that, hey? Gossip. That's all right, though, isn't it, if you add at the end, told you so you could pray for him. Right? Did you hear about Steve? He cheated on his wife. Yeah, yeah, with that, you know, that chick, that singer chick. Can you believe that? Yeah, man, I always thought there was something wrong with that guy. I always thought it, the way he looked at people, the way he dressed, the way he smelled all the time. Like, I just, but you know what? I'm just telling you, because they really need prayer right now. And if you add those magic words at the end, you ain't a gossip. You know that? It's miraculous. Power of God right there. In a moment, I went from being a gossip to being a prayer warrior. Mm-hmm. Bad habit to get into. Can someone say amen? Amen? Lying? I'm only telling you so you can pray about it. Well, we got two birds with one stone right there. lust, we'll just put that down quick. Can't talk about that in church. Road rage, like Pastor Jed. Find yourself at an intersection thinking, I'm gonna beat the snot out of this guy, only to find out that it's your childhood best friend. Anyone else? By the way, anyone else found themselves in a spot like that? Because that story rocked my world, because it's my greatest fear. Because I often want to beat people up on the road. It's a bad habit I got into. Lauren and I, we realized one time that anytime anyone cut in front of us, we'd be always go like this, moron. Like, and we'd be joking. We actually were joking. We just thought it was hilarious to go, moron, every time. We thought it was hilarious. Until in the back one day we heard, moron. And we're like, this might be a bad habit I got into right here. Anyone say amen, right? Those little buggers, they copy everything, don't they? Maybe it's say something like this, simple things. Maybe you just talk too much. Serious. Maybe you just don't ever stop and let people talk to you. Maybe you don't listen when people talk. Maybe when they're talking, you're not listening. You're thinking about what you're going to say next. Maybe it's picking your nose. Hey, if it's always giving you a blood nose, God cares about that. Can we get past whether or not these things are sin? Oh, you don't even want to come to this church anymore, do you? Dude pulled out a Happy Meal. This seems like a good idea occasionally. We bought this on Friday. It looks and feels exactly the same. It cannot be good for you. Amen. Now, who knows that a cheeseburger occasionally is not too bad for you, right? And we bought a couple last night and fed them to our kids. Shut up, eat this. But for real, some of you might, and you know what? It's not easy to break bad habits. You might be finding yourself eating a couple of cheeseburgers a day. You might find yourself eating takeout every day, and you might be promising yourself all the time, I've got to stop this, it's going to kill me. Who knows? God actually cares. If that thing is something you can't break free from, God cares about that. You know that? These things, God cares. If you want to quit and you've been struggling, God cares about that. You know that? There are all sorts of things that can bring destruction into your life. Can I get? Yeah? There are all sorts of things in your life that can bring destruction. You think it's funny? Some people struggle with these things. I know it is a little funny that the pastor just brought a bong on stage. But let's be honest. There are people in our church that this is breaking up their marriage. It's not funny anymore, is it? It was funny when he brought a bong out the box, but now when we're talking about the fact that there are people in the church that this could ruin their marriage and mean that there's kids without mom or dad, now it's not funny. Now we want them to have freedom, don't we? Now we want to see people break free in Jesus' name. We already talked about those. This. No, that ain't sin for sure. Now, Pepsi, we won't even talk about that. But Pepsi, on the other hand, that comes straight out the devil's mouth. Who knows that? Can I get an amen? Thank you. Thank you for coming to church. One of these, a Bud Light. It's not bad, Jesse. I'm not telling you it's bad. But if it's turning into 3 or 6 or 9 and 9 and it's starting to affect your family, only you know. I don't know. I'm not telling you you can't have one. I'm just asking you, if these things have become a pain in your life and you've promised yourself now for years that you're going to break free from them and you haven't been able to, well, I want to tell you, just because the Bible doesn't say don't drink alcohol doesn't mean that God doesn't care if you're trying to break free. You catch what I'm saying? So if you're stuck on this stuff and it's gone from a drink that you enjoyed occasionally to now this thing that you are a slave to, God cares about that. God's power is available and He is willing and able to help you break free. All these things, He's willing and able. It started out like I just needed help with some pain, and now these things are controlling me. Well, He cares about these things, amen? He wants to help you. You don't have to keep living your life with this same old, doing it. Oh, it's not sin, so it doesn't matter. If it's made you a slave, God cares. God wants to help you break free. You aren't a slave to anything. You are a child of God, amen? And all these things, whether it be Coca-Cola, Pepsi, smoking a bong, smoking cigarettes, being negative, talking too much or eating way too much candy, and inviting diabetes into your life, God cares and wants to help you break free. You're not a slave, amen? He is the King of Kings, and you are His son, or you are His daughter, and you can break free. Someone praise the Lord for a second. Come on now. Some things in moderation are okay. Some things can make us a slave after time. Some things make you a slave on day one. Some things take their time. Right now, the Holy Spirit is speaking to people in here. I really believe it. Yeah, and I'm not making a joke. Yeah, God can speak in the same room as a bong, cigarettes, beers, pins, needles. Holy Spirit can speak anywhere. And right now, the Holy Spirit is speaking to people in here who have maybe some pretty serious issues that are destroying marriages and lives. Or maybe He's speaking to people about some things that no one else really even notices, but He's speaking to you about them, you know, and you know that it's not going to be healthy to keep living with these things, and if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, you got the full power of the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. If God is speaking to you, there is power available for you to win and win and win and become a winner every time, amen. I want you to know, in fact, God wants you to know that no matter what chains are holding us down, that He is the biggest, the baddest set of bolt cutters that the world has ever known, amen. Gonna break them, shatter them. You don't have to stay this way. You don't have to live this way anymore. Come on now. You don't have to be stuck, bogged down in the mud anymore. You don't have to die at 57 just because the devil told you that you aren't ever gonna break free from this overeating addiction or from this painkiller addiction or from this substance abuse or from this drink or this food or this lifestyle. You're going to die alone because you can't shut your mouth. You don't have to live that way. Whatever the devil says about you is a lie, and whatever God says about you is the truth. Someone say amen. Come on, in fact, stand up and praise Him as the band comes back up. Come on, stand up and give Him a shout of praise. The devil is a liar. The devil is a murderer. He came to steal, kill, and destroy, amen. But God come to set you free. He is willing and able. Isn't it good to know some people are willing but not able? Some people are able but not willing, but God is willing and able to come to your defense. You're going to be like that person who makes his dwelling place the presence of God. And then all the truth of Psalm 91 comes true. He is your strong tower. He is your refuge. He is your shield. And you won't be a slave to anybody. Contrary to what the enemy might try to mind trick you into believing, God is not mean. He is not waiting up there with a magnifying glass trying to find the things that you've done wrong and burn you like an ant. That's not what God does. God is there with open eyes, seeing the pain and destruction that is in your life, and He has compassion and wants to deliver you and help you from it, and even in the midst of it, was not ashamed of you. He stands here willing to help, and we stand here with Him saying, we love you and am not ashamed of you. But don't wait. Don't wait. If God is speaking to you about something today through the sermon, through the Holy Spirit speaking to you where you are, deal with it today. Just start the process now. Find freedom now. And in this sermon series, find continued strength. There's an old saying, Procrastination is my sin. It brings me nothing but sorrow. I know that I should stop it. In fact, I will tomorrow. Remember Pharaoh? We talked about him about a year ago. His land was covered in frogs, and God sends him a messenger, and the messenger says, God wants to know, when would you like me to fix this problem? Pharaoh's answer is so vexing, he says, tomorrow. The most destructive thing in his land at this time can be gone. God sends a messenger like he's sending you today through me. When do you want this thing to be gone? Don't say tomorrow. Don't say Monday. Don't say next Sunday. Don't say at the end of the series if all the sermons are good. Start today and be encouraged throughout the series. Don't be like Pharaoh, be like Caleb. Moses sent Joshua and Caleb and a few other blokes to look at the promised land, the place that God promised them. It was beautiful, flowed with milk and honey. What that means is it had abundant life everywhere. Most of the men came back and talked about how hard it will be to take it, what it will cost, and that they shouldn't do it yet. But Joshua and Caleb were different. Caleb said to Moses, let's go at once. Let's go at once to take the land. We can certainly conquer it. Be like Caleb and say to the Lord, God, let's do this at once together, you and me. We can certainly conquer this. Amen. Be encouraged with this great word from Galatians chapter 5. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Be free. Don't be a slave anymore. Let's remember where we started the sermon today in Psalm 91. In the presence of God, with help, His power, you can live in freedom from destruction. You can live without fear. You can watch as 10,000 enemies die around you on the side and each side, but they never get near you. You can be like Psalmist, like David wrote in Psalm 23. Everything's going nuts all around you. The world's going crazy, but I'm sitting at a table enjoying a steak. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. The devil wants to get you, and he's confused because you're sitting there having a steak. You're not concerned. You're not afraid. You're not worried because you dwell in the house of God. It's time that we let God take this mop here and push all that stuff into the forgiven and into the set free basket. Amen. It's time to be rid of all of that garbage. Time to be rid of it once and for all. Right now and during the service, if God has spoken to you, don't be like Pharaoh, be like Caleb and say, yes, God, at once we can conquer this. Come down the front. We're not going to pray for anyone today. I want you to step out of your seat as a symbol of leaving your past behind. Come down to the altar, stepping into the presence of God and choosing to make the house of God, the presence of God, your new home. And as you do that, God is going to set you free and begin a process of restoration and healing in your life today. So whoever that is, do not be like Pharaoh. Not tomorrow. Do it today. Come down the front right now as we sing and worship the Lord down here and ask Him for freedom in Jesus' name. Let's do it.
Thanks for listening to the Eternity Church podcast. For more episodes, you can find us on iTunes or at eternitydm.podbean.com.